Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. Today, Julie and I have a special guest, Pam Wanvier. And I met Pam a million trillion years ago when we were working at All About Dogs, and she came to do some body work with dogs, and the word I used at the time to describe it was massage. And Pam clarified for me that Tellington touch, the form of body work she does, is not exactly massage. So Pam, can we start there? How does Tellington touch differ from massage?
Well, I will tell you. Massage, actually, when you go to a masseuse, they work through the skin to the muscles. And actually what they're working is your muscles. And with T-Touch, really, we're just interested in skin. So we just really are interested in doing these specific movements on the skin. When you're working with the skin, you can feel how tight or how loose they are. Some dogs, their skin is as tight as a drum head. Mm-hmm. And a dog who's more calm and less anxious, their skin is kind of loose. And if you think of what you might, it might look like for a basset hound or something with a lot of loose skin. But even a basset hound can have a lot of anxiety. And then that, even though they have folds, it will feel hard to move. And if you can work with that a little bit, doing T-Touch, it changes often. They start to learn how to relax.
Very cool.
What I would say is when I do T-Touch, my husband will say, can you do that melty dog thing on the dogs? And I can do the melty dog thing on the dog. So that's what he calls it, the melty dog thing. Oh, because the dogs go from like, oh, I'm really excited to, oh my goodness. I just feel so good. And the yawn comes and the stretching, and then pretty soon we're just melted. We are the melty mm-hmm. dog. So, and I learned T-Touch from you. It was several years ago, and I was raising...
But not a million trillion?
Just a million. It was a million, not a million trillion. Maybe a million billion. Anyway.
They don't have dark hair then?
Yeah, I think so, but... I was a puppy raiser for a service dog, and I brought Journey to one of yours, and learned a lot. And then later on, I bet you don't remember this, but when I was looking for a dog of my own, everybody at All About Dogs said to me, you know, I think you should get a flat-coated retriever. And I called you, and you directed me to Judy Gladson, where I got my first flatty in 2006, best dog I ever owned, and I've been meaning for, 12 years now, 13 years, to write you a thank you note for that, for the introduction to Judy Gladson. That's right. So,
wow, that's cool. Yes, I love them. They're very cool dogs.
Yes, and they respond very well to T-Touch. I have found both of my flatties, they just get it right away. But then, I think probably most dogs, if you get it right, they get it. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, and it often takes a little bit of, it's almost like programming. Like if you're trying to patch in a program or install some new software, they often don't. It can take a little bit of time for them to understand how to shift themselves emotionally. Let me put it that way. So it's almost like you have to lay like a little bit of groundwork by doing it for a little bit. And then when you are in a more stressful situation, you can just reach down and do some T-touches, or when they're something's going on and they're responding to the environment, you can just reach down, do some T-touches. Their body goes, oh, right, I can shift. And they'll just kind of settle down a bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's kind of you could help them with it when things seem to be a bit overwhelming for them. It's a time you can just reach down and do some, and then their body remembers if you've done some of the homework or you know, sitting in front of the TV doing some T-touch while you're watching movies is a good time.
I know that T-touch has a lot of different moves, and they all have names, and I know none of the names anymore. I used to know some of the names, but the names have fallen out. But the move that I teach my clients most often is just a simple circle that moves the skin.
Yes.
And then slide down and do that again. And that is now actually the way I pet all dogs. So if I'm petting a dog, it's that little slow circle that moves the skin. And when I'm explaining it to clients, it's really funny because I cannot talk slowly and I can't do slow circles while talking. But I'm like, so I'm going to do this and then I'm going to shut up and I'm going to do circles and then I'm going to talk again and there'll be fast circles when I'm talking. So sorry. What is that move? And is that one that you go to as a regular one?
Yes. And that is the T-touch circle. And it can be done with, and the thing is, most of the moves in T-touch are T-touch circles. It's just the part of your hand you use to do it is where the name derives from. So I can use the tips of my fingers to do it, and that's called one thing. I can use my whole hand to do a nice bigger circle. That's called something else. And there's like 20 of those. So, but in fact, you're doing circle and a quarters.
Yes.
And as long as unless you're going to become a practitioner, you don't really need to know the names. You just need to know that you're doing circle and a quarters. So there are also lifts and slides. You can connect the circles a few other moves, but mostly it's all just the circles, really. So.
Okay. So if you met a dog who was just sort of, bouncing out of his skin, just so excited about everything, and you wanted to achieve Melty Dog, what would you do?
Well, as the usual answer for almost anything is, it depends on the dog, right?
Gee, but, Colleen and I have never said that on this show.
Never.
I bet. So is it a dog who likes to be touched or who really doesn't like to be touched? Or because the approach is completely more complicated if the dog is not really that into being cuddled or petted. On the other hand, one of the comments that I get back very regularly is that the dog becomes more affectionate after you've done some T-touch. And I think because they hold so much tension in their body, it doesn't really feel good to be touched. But they know that it could feel good. So there's usually kind of a little interaction or dance when you first start doing T-touch with dogs who are a little more standoffish. Because you do just a couple of T-touches and then sit back a little bit and see if the dog walks away from you or comes toward you. And right there, you kind of started a dialogue that they, on some level, I think they start to understand that you're actually listening to them and not doing it to them. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the interaction that I think makes a difference with these, when we're working with the dog. So what would I do? I'd probably first see if they like their ears done, because ears and neck are something that is often a place that they like. Mm-hmm. Or chest, if they don't like, if they've had ear infections and when you touch their ear, they think, oh gosh, here come the drops. the chest is maybe a good place. So just find a place that you can have an interaction with these circles that they enjoy. And from there, you're going to work toward other places. Do they hate their feet being touched? Do they, you go past the shoulders and they turn around and look with you at you or sit down or step away. They're saying, whoa, I don't really feel comfortable you touching me back there. So then there's ways you can work to getting to those places. And once they drop their guarding around those areas, it's amazing the behavior changes that can occur.
Okay, so for example, say a dog does not like to have his or her paws touched.
Yes.
I think is a fairly common one.
Yes.
So how would you go about getting a dog to accept that? So say they let you do their ears and their neck, then do you just sort of slip down and maybe try a hip and then come back and do the neck and then maybe try a little bit longer, like maybe on the thigh and then come back? How do you get a dog to start to accept it?
The feet are pretty up there in the complicated zones, as are hind ends and tails often, and the mouth often. But if there's an area that is a kind of a difficult area for them, what I would do is I get a kind of a dialogue going with them in the areas that they're comfortable with. And then I'll just go down a little bit, do a couple down, go right back to the comfort zone.
Okay.
So because what happens is we go, okay, I'm going down the leg. Here's a circle. I'm doing a little more. I'm going down the circle. And we start, you know, like we're going for the foot. They can really feel that. I mean, but if we just go to one and go back up, it's like, oh, wait a minute, she's going down there. Oh, no, she didn't. Yep. That, oh no, she really didn't. And it starts them to it just kind of, well, I don't know. Maybe it is desensitization. I'm not sure. But little by little, they start to trust that you're not going to grab that foot and cut the nail, you know.
Or, right, yeah.
You could usually within a session or two work your way down. The other thing you can do is work down just maybe a few circles down past the elbow or knee, and then just turn your hand over and run it down. Either not not even touching, just making the movement that you're going down the foot without touching. And that often can be a real good buffer so that they kind of go, oh, wow, she made the movement, but she didn't touch me. Then the next time you do it again, maybe the next or two or three times you go down, when you do it, you can touch them partway down. You don't always just go all the way down to the foot, depending on how bad. Sometimes it only takes, you know, three or four or five tries, and they go like, oh, okay, well, this is different. This isn't grabbing my foot and doing my nails. This is something else.
Okay.
Sometimes it takes longer.
So when you're doing the foot, do you actually do circles like on the pads or in between the toes?
You do circles everywhere.
Everywhere.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So you can do it between the toes, under the pads, in the pads. You can even circle the little toenails.
Oh, okay.
And some dogs will actually start to really love it, actually. And cats, too, for that matter.
The only description we've had of circles so far is my rather inept one in the beginning. So let's have Pam give a good description for our listeners of how to properly do a circle. What should they be doing to do a good circle?
So without this will be interesting because I've never done it without a visual. So
I know.
Let's see.
We sometimes just act things out and hope that comes through.
If I were to draw a clock face on the back of my hand, and I were to put my fingers at the bottom of that clock on six, and I were to push the skin up to 9, then up to 12, then around to 3, and then to 6, and past where you started at 6, up to 9. I am doing an actual circle and a quarter. I am not drawing a circle on the skin. I'm almost pretending that where I put my fingers on that 6, there's Velcro there. And that little part of that skin, that little piece of skin, I'm going to push all the way around the clock. So the skin is moving in a circle and a quarter. And that is a T-touch circle. People tend to want to put more pressure on, especially if you're working with massage therapists, because they are used to applying pressure. This is a very light work. So we often will put our fingers on our cheek and do the circle and a quarter there so that you can also do it on your eyelid if you don't have contacts in. You do a circle and a quarter on the cheek, moving the skin in that circle and a quarter, but not deep enough that you feel the bone. So you're actually moving the skin without feeling the bone. That's about a 1 pressure. And if you press in a little bit more and you feel the bone contour, then that's about a 3 pressure. And that's pretty much, I mean, you know, that's generally what we use. You can use 1 finger, 2 fingers, 3 fingers, 4 fingers, your whole hand, the back of your hand, the side of your hand, whatever's... The bottom line is, if an animal's standing in front of you or lying with you and you're doing circles, you want your hand to be relaxed and not all pokey, because if you're all stiff and pokey, it's not going to feel good. So you want some flexibility in your hand, and you want to be doing these circles kind of so your arm is straight kind of and comfortable. So when you move to somewhere else, rather than having to cock your wrist or whatever, you can just change the part of your hand you use. So you all stay loose and comfortable. And by shifting the part of your hand that you use, you can make it so that it's really kind of a comfortable, flowy and comfortable. How's that?
That was, I think that was really good.
I do too. And I was wondering, Pam, is there a Is there a drawing or an illustration that you could provide for us that we could put on our show notes that might actually show what you just described?
Yes, I could. Now?
No.
Just send us a link later and we will make sure it happens.
Fine. Fine. I also want to say that if you put go to ttouch.com, which is the main website, there is a YouTube channel. So you could also just go to YouTube and put in T-Touch. And there are lots of videos for free on how to do T-Touch. And they just show little segments on different animals. I think there's even one of Linda explaining how to do the circle demo.
Okay, well, great. Well, we'll make sure that link gets on the show notes for people who want to look at it.
Yeah, so that's...
For the people who are wondering, it's T as in the letter, not T-E-E or any other crazy spelling. It's T-Touch.
I think the British would probably make it T-E-A touch. T-touch.
Exactly. There are many ways we could misspell this, but it's just the letter in front of touch.
O-U-T-H.
That's right. Well, the other thing is I think that you had mentioned cats that I think is interesting is that I think Linda started out doing this on horses, wasn't it? And then developed it for dogs? Because I had used her T-touch on my horses. So when my daughters were showing and they were going into pleasure horse so that the horse's neck was supposed to be loose and relaxed just before they go in the ring, I was doing T-touch circles in between the front legs of the horse, right at the breast, and their heads would go, oh, right into exactly where pleasure horse was supposed to be. So anyway, it does work on things besides dogs. Works on I've actually used it on my children.
There's actually...
I've used it on people, too.
And here, there isn't a general certification in our country, but in Europe, the different countries have. Because here, every state has its own laws about who can work on people. But in, like, Germany or in France or in Italy, they have one universal law. And so you can become a T-Touch practitioner there for people. You can become certified in that there. So there is T-Touch for people. It's just not... A lot of people here use it, but if they have to be a massage therapist or a physical therapist or depending on the state's requirements, but anybody can use it for their family.
When you were describing it, you did say one thing that I think is really important. I'd like to go back and emphasize where you had talked about you're not moving on top of the skin. You're actually moving the skin.
Yes.
And I think people don't realize how irritating it can be if you're just moving on top of the skin repeatedly. Yes. That gets very irritating very quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Whereas if you move the skin, it's soothing and relaxing and melty dog status.
Yes, exactly. You also mentioned about doing fast and slow circles. The one thing I didn't mention was the tempo, which is if you're starting with a very excited animal, if you'll watch every once in a while, you'll see somebody with a very excited animal and their hand is going so fast.
Yeah.
Rubbing their dog, and they are maintaining that status quo. If you start to slow down your movements, and with T-Touch, we do 1, 2, and 3 second circles, you're actually helping to influence the animal to slow down instead of maintaining their anxious state. So speed has something to do with it.
Yes, I both Colleen and I know have noticed that somebody's petting their dog, and they're furiously ruffling the hair, and I'm like... Breathe and slow down. And it's just amazing that how much your actions really do influence and facilitate what your dog's emotional state is as well.
When my boys were younger, I would sometimes have them play. We called the game, I Can Make That Dog Fall Down. And we would pick a time. I can make that dog fall down in 60 seconds. And the basic goal was sit very quietly next to our Labrador and do T-touch circles until Gordo would lay down. But the real idea was, look, three boys, not running around, not screaming, not doing anything.
That's exactly right.
Everybody chill out. But it would be like this contest. Like, I don't know if you can do it. Do you think you can make that dog fall down in 45 seconds? I don't know.
Brilliant.
And Gordo loved T-Touch. So he was like, yes, take a body part.
One of the sneaky things of T-Touch is it seems to affect not only who you're doing it to, but who's doing it.
Oh.
There's a sync up of the brainwave patterns. So there is something going on with that. So, I guess I didn't mean, you mentioned breath, but I didn't mention breath. when a dog holds their breath, it's usually not because they're calm. And for us, when we are holding our breath or in a situation where we go, or just holding our breath is a signal to them to be stressed out. So one of the things we're doing when we're doing key touch is to try to consciously breathe while you're doing them.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference and changes. I often sigh. I will go, or take in a deep breath and let it out just a little, not a lot of sound, but just a little bit. And it can shift the situation that's going on in the room. When I'm in a session.
So one of the things I was going to ask you too, Pam, is I talk about melty dog, but what does that mean? What are we looking for to make sure so that we see that our dog is actually responding well? What are some of the early signals? What are some of the things you want to look for that says to you, ah, this is working in my dog? And what are some of the signals that's telling you, ah, it's not working for my dog?
Good questions. So what I look for, a dog that I'm just meeting, when it comes in and it's looking at me, it's not blinking, it's kind of stiff, there's that kind of thing going on. When I start to work with them, I there's often a little give and take. I'll do a little bit, have them see if they come toward me, go away. I'll just start working. Then try again, and oftentimes they'll just come and for me to work on them, and I'll just start seeing where they're comfortable being touched. But I watch their breathing, the breathing rate. Almost always, I'm watching the eyes to see if they blink. If they're not blinking, that's the first sign that maybe they're starting to pay attention or to track what I'm doing, rather than being like, oh, what's over here, or what's over there, or this, you know, all this stuff going on around them. They just start to blink, their breathing changes, they'll take a deep breath. Some dogs, if you stop for a little bit and give them a little break, which is often a good thing to do, they'll shake off. That's a way that they can, and I praise for that, because it's a way that they can help themselves emotionally shift in more complicated mm-hmm. situations. If they yawn, I praise for yawns, because that's another way they can shift between emotional states, which I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've decided that what we're doing is helping dogs learn emotional flexibility. That's mm-hmm. kind of what that's what I do. They don't know how to shift emotionally. So the dogs who have trouble in environments are oversensitive to what's going on around them. They're kind of stuck in an emotional state. And they basically, we do the same thing. If we have too much on our plate and we're just overwhelmed and we're not sleeping well, and we've got to get all this stuff done, and then someone will walk up to you and put their hands on your shoulders and your shoulders will drop 2 or 3 inches and you go, oh, whoa, check it out. I am really tight. It's really like, it's affecting me. I'm really gotten all wound up. And then we can like take a hot shower or a bath or have some tea or something, realize that we're not handling our stress very well. But a lot of these dogs, and some dogs are able to shift out of when something happens, they can shift to go back to being cool, calm, and collected. But there's a lot of dogs who can't do that. And they don't know how to, basically we're showing them and helping them learn what it feels like not to be that way. So, what else did you ask?
I think that's great.
Yes.
I do have one question on that. Some of the signals you're saying to show that it's starting to work are the signs of emotional release are also some of the signs that we tell people to watch for as sort of intermediate stress signals. And I know that's totally true, but to explain to people why in this case these signals can be a good sign and in other cases we might be wanting to change a situation.
Okay. The eyes, for one thing, I watch for it not to go to staring because that's there might be something going on there that I better be paying attention to, because they're not comfortable with where I am on their body or what I'm doing. For yawning, I know yawning is considered a stress signal, but in fact, it does show that the dog is stressed. But the fact that they're moving their mouth, which is one of the closest links to the limbic system or the emotions, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic, the calm and the fight-flight, that dichotomy, it means that they're actually moving their mouth, and giving treats also does that. But in fact, it helps them shift emotionally. So yes, they were stressed, but in fact, if they learn to yawn, they're helping themselves to shift out of that emotional place.
Well, because one of the things I was going to say that we look for, we tell people, is one of the stress signals to look for in your dog is a closed mouth. That dogs who have a closed, tight mouth are kind of stressed, just like people who clench their jaws. So if your dog is yawning, what we're seeing is, yes, it's a stress signal, but it's a lot less stress than if he's clenching his jaw. Yeah,
right.
So it's a release. So I think you're looking for is a tense mouth that's going towards yawning. And it can also be like, oh, wow. Think about how many times you yawn when you're just like, oh, I got rid of that ache or that pain. And now sometimes it's just to increase oxygen as well.
Yeah, you know? It is. And when you're getting ready for bed, oftentimes you yawn, you're going from one state to another. You're working toward.
Right. It's sort of a come down. I was going to ask you if you have found that T-Touch is helpful with, like, tactile sensitive dogs, dogs who are really, there are some dogs you touch them and they're just, like, springy. Any kind of, you know, they're really hypersensitive to various surfaces that they walk on, or they're very sensitive to any kind of touch or bedding, or, you know, they just are extraordinarily tactile sensitive. Is T-Touch help to reduce that tactile sensitivity?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that it's not that they're, you know, their skin is really tight and they're overly anxious, and it's showing up physically for them that everything is overwhelming for them. So T-Touch really, by starting where they feel comfortable and working for those places that are less comfortable, in a way that you're working with them on it. You know, you can also, I always talk to them. I always say, I'll touch them somewhere and you see them maybe look at you like, hey, I'm not sure about that. And I'll say, oh, I see that was hard for you. I mean, I say that to them, and I'll stop and I'll say, let me try over here. You know, let me try that again. And then I'll go back, because if they know that you're like listening to them, then you're starting a dialogue and you're starting a communication, opening some communication with them. And I think I can get a lot further along with that when they think that I'm actually listening to them and respecting them. It doesn't mean I'm never going to touch that place again, but I'm going to, you know, kind of have like this dialogue about, okay, let's try that again. How's that feel? Okay. And then I'll go back to the place that they love again. And I'll do that a few times, and pretty soon they're like, well, yeah, maybe you can touch me there. That's probably okay. as far as surfaces goes, there's T-Touch has three components. There's the body work, there are wraps. Everybody's heard of Thunder Shirts. They were designed by a T-Touch practitioner. So it's just, instead of being an ace bandage, it's a little jacket, but any clothes work. And then there's a confidence course, which are a bunch of elements put out. And some of those are things to walk over, around, through. We use a labyrinth laid out. We use different surfaces, because that is a really excellent way of getting to have better proprioception, but also to get them over fear of different, surfaces. So, and for dogs who are afraid of slippery, aren't able to walk on slippery floors, it has a lot to do with they have very poor proprioception, and or balance issues or hip issues. That's usually some physical thing going on. And with T-Touch and using wraps, it can really help them become more aware of their body and where it is in space. For agility dogs, who fast is good, but if they're fast and clumsy, they're going to get hurt. So one why not have them be fast but know where their body is in space and how to use it? So
it was very interesting to me in one of your workshops where we had a ladder on the floor and we're walking dogs through the ladder. Until that time, I hadn't really realized how few dogs knew where their hind feet were.
Yeah.
I just assumed that they knew where all 4 feet were, but their front paws were doing amazingly well, and their hind legs were just all over the place. So I use that a lot now with dogs just to try to play with, let's figure out if you actually know where your body is. Are you inhabiting this body? Are you aware?
And that's
very interesting to me.
That has a lot to do. Once they realize that they have how to work their whole body, their self-confidence changes immensely. I find it fascinating myself. My background's in special ed, and you know, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But confidence is, that's the problem with a lot of these anxious dogs. They don't have any self-confidence, and T-Touch seems to really help with that. All these different elements seem to work together for that.
Yeah.
So, Pam, a couple of things. There's the ttouch.com with the YouTube channel that shows how to do a circle and various other YouTube or videos related to T-Touch. If somebody wanted to start with their dog, you would probably have them start with just a basic circle. And where would you suggest that they perhaps, if somebody wants to experiment with this, where should they start? Ears, head, back, wherever the dog is not sensitive?
Where you find the place they love the most. Find a place they love. So with some dogs, for most dogs, I'll try the head, neck, chest, ears. I'll just reach out and like where I would normally go to pet a dog, I'll just do a circle and a quarter. If the dog steps away from me, I go, well, that's not the place. You know, or they shy away with the ear. The chest is often a kind of works, is a good place. A lot of dogs like their chest done. Some dogs, it's actually their hind end. They like their butt rubbed, what people would say a butt rub. So maybe that would be good. But it's interesting because the T-Touch circle is a little bit more focused and conscious than just rubbing. It's a little different, and some dogs they like their butt rub, but then they realize that actually they do hold a lot of tension in their hind end, and it's not maybe their favorite place to be T-touched at first. Tails are often a difficult place, so that might not be the place to start, and feet, as we talked about. Now, the mouth is actually, as I said earlier, one of the closest links. We actually do T-touches on the mouth, on the flues, or the jowls, all around. And then a lot of times I'll do a stroke from the nose on the side of the face and up the side of the head and incorporate the ear in these long stroke. And I'll often do it over the eye so they blink their eye. So the dogs who are stary, it's like it can help shift them out of that kind of stiff and stary place, assuming they aren't a biter. In which case, then
So if somebody would like to find a T-Touch practitioner in their area, is there a website or place that they can go to find?
There is. The main website for T-Touch is ttouch.com.
Okay.
Or you can look up TellingtonTouch.com. Tellington Touch stands for T-Touch stands for Tellington Touch, which was developed by Linda Tellington Jones. So ttouch.com has practitioners.
Okay.
Listed by every state and country because it's worldwide.
Great. And if somebody would like to contact you directly, how would they do that, Pam?
I am WoodsideTTouch.com.
WoodsideTTouch.com. Okay, great. We'll make sure there's a link on the website or on our show notes for you. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our family dog owners about T-Touch that might be something that would get them motivated to get started?
Well, let's see. It's a great thing to do in front of the television.
It is.
When you're watching your favorite series or binging on something. If they have a dog who's having trouble in the environment or who is anxious or who has... if they have, for older dogs who have you know, they started to get a little creaky or they're having some kind of physical problems. It's really, it's a wonder just to just give it a try, do some circles and see what happens. Try a couple of wraps, see how that does. If your dog is an elder dog and walks up to the stairs one day and just thinks, I don't think I can do stairs anymore, do some T-touch and put a wrap on them. It may change it. If you have a dog who has trouble in the car, try a wrap on the dog. You really don't have anything to lose. It's free and you can do it. I mean, lots of people have changed their dog just by watching a couple of YouTubes or, you know, getting a video or a book. Linda has, I think, 21 books now and, I don't know, 16 languages or it always changes. But there's a lot out there on T-Touch. But now that there's YouTube, it's you can just watch a little segment and go, okay, let's try this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have getting in T-Touch with your dog and have found it to be a really wonderful resource to have.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Well, Pam, thank you very much for spending this time with us. We've really enjoyed having you on board and certainly giving us a lot of food for thought. When you mentioned wraps, would a simple, I just want to reiterate that a simple, easy one would probably just be the Thunder shirt. So they didn't have to take ACE bandages and try and wrap their dog up. Would a Thunder shirt be a good place to start?
Yeah. Or a T-shirt. You don't even have to buy a Thunder shirt. Find a T-shirt in the drawer and make sure it just doesn't drag down on the ground. Maybe tie it up. Up over the hips. And if you use a T-shirt, it actually fits on a dog better if the logo on the back is on the chest. So it's kind of turned around. I don't know why they fit better, but they do. And most people have a T-shirt that they could sacrifice to calming a dog. So
one of the things I have used is I tell people to go out and get a women's extra, extra small spandex T-shirt.
There you go. That's a great idea.
It works really well. And, you know, and the more spandex, the better. So at least for dogs, not, certainly not for me, but for dogs, the more spandex, the better.
Yeah, I'm way past that.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate you coming and talking to us and sharing a few tips with our listeners. We really appreciate that.
I love it.
Thanks, Pam. And I'll see you next week, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.